Well, welcome to Bank Director's Acquire Be Acquired 2020 Summer Series. In this session, we'll be talking about strategic planning in a future, in a world where the future seems very uncertain. Our guest is Steven Steinour, Chairman and CEO of Huntington Bank Shares, a $118 billion asset regional bank headquartered in Columbus, Ohio. Steve, welcome to the Summer Series.
Jack, thank you. Great to be with you again and others.
Likewise. Steve, we're going to be talking about, as the title suggests, strategic planning in an environment where things are very uncertain. But I want to start by just talking a bit about what you and your management team and the board are focusing on right now in the pandemic, in the recession, sort of set the stage for what your world is like at the moment.
Well, I suspect there's a lot of similarity here. We've come through, if you will, the first round in relatively good shape, being able to support tens of thousands of customers, generate a substantial amount of PPP loans, and keep our colleagues, most importantly, safe. We've had a transition from a full branch service to limited to drive up, and now back to full service. And importantly for us, we've not had colleagues impacted as a consequence of the changes that we've made. So a lot more plexiglass greetings at most branches outside or at the entranceway to try and control visitation and encouraging customers, but not requiring, encouraging them strongly to wear masks. So there are a series of efforts underway with our colleagues to, again, to protect them and their families and to help our customers, and including protecting them. Now, we've also introduced a remote work component to our routine. We're running somewhere around 10-15% occupancy in major buildings right now. We'll probably stay at this mode for quite a while, and again, an effort to look out for colleagues. I say that by way of background because that's essentially what we're doing now with schools reopening imminently and a flare-up of the virus, at least in some of our markets. We're trying to be extraordinarily cautious and protective of colleagues and their families, at the same time serving our customers, and that has caused us to sort of contingently plan now. What if we have to step back? How would we do it? Schools shut with little or no notice, things like that.
Right. So describe your strategic planning process. How do you do it? When do you do it? What's the role of the board in that process? What do you rely on them for?
So our strategic planning has been done virtually every year, but a more in-depth plan with a timeline of typically 3 to 5 years is how we launched going back to 2009. What we're finding is planning cycles now continue to shorten. Certainly in a moment like this where the economy is going through major change, we are in a planning cycle, notwithstanding the fact that the calendar would suggest we shouldn't start that until sometime next year. So we're deep into a process, different environment, different economy, a lot of uncertainty with the pandemic, and yet a lot of opportunity. And so we are approaching this cycle, if you will, with a view of opportunity. What can we do? What do we need to do to accommodate our customers, their changing preferences or requirements, and how can we better position the bank competitively? And a lot of good work going on right now. So that will follow with, I think we're going to evolve into more of a continuous planning mode versus a cyclical mode of once every 3 to 5 years, Jack.
And continuous as in like once a year, once every 6 months?
As we're completing this one, we're already thinking about the next one and areas where we might want to go, and we'll do that over the ensuing couple of quarters. But the pace of technology change, what we're seeing in markets, the change, certainly the pandemic, the Fed interaction, the stimulus, I mean, just there's so many dynamics and cross currents right now I suspect we'll be doing this again roughly this time next year.
And it must be a challenge because some of the things that you just referred to are likely to change or quite possibly could change 6 to 9 months from now. I mean, I would think from a planning perspective, one of the challenges is that you're not really sure exactly what the future will look like, that future that you're trying to plan for.
That's right. That's why I think this more continuous nature will be important. We have an economic perspective that we're in a recovery. It will be uneven, but hopefully there'll be vaccines being made available middle to late next year, and that will induce further, typical or normal behavior. But there's a bet in that, and so a lot of uncertainty, and with that, a much more rapidly changing environment, competitor set, fintechs, others. Coming at the banking sector right now. So I think it requires us to be more nimble, and our board's expecting that. Our board's deeply engaged in our planning process, and as they have been in the past. So we're very fortunate. We get a lot of support and a lot of help from our board as we go through a planning cycle.
What do you rely on them for specifically, Steve? I mean, you have a very diverse board, not only from a race and gender perspective, but from a business background perspective, marketing, cybersecurity, entrepreneurs. Does that kind of board, is it helpful to you in an environment like this where maybe you're being forced to think outside of the box just a little bit?
Well, it's very helpful to us generally. Because of that range of experiences, they can add value in so many different dimensions. Our current cybersecurity plan has been substantially informed by having one of our directors who has an extraordinary background in that domain, Chris Inglis. We have two directors who both have very contemporary consumer marketing and brand experience using substantially digital and working with emerging products, emerging technology-related consumer products. Very helpful to us. So again, we use our directors very actively. They're all solicited both in and outside of board meetings for views. I was fortunate to have two of them with me late last week, last Friday, talking about marketing and data management effort underway in our marketing group, and they both have done it for large companies, and so they've seen it work at scale. They have views on how we can further ramp up. Extraordinarily helpful to me as a result, and to us.
As you look out into the next 12 to 18 months, and have this shorter planning cycle, this shorter planning horizon. What you're thinking about interest rates? How do you see that? Where do you see rates staying for the next 12 to 18 months? And how does that impact your plan?
Well, I think the Fed has signaled they're going to be low for a while. We're assuming low beyond 2022. So a spread compression is going to be a continuous challenge. And trying to maintain substantially our net interest margin is a key area of focus. And so it's requiring us to think about allocations of capital, asset allocations on and off balance sheet preferences, much more dynamically than we would have 12 months ago, even 8 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as though where banks are today, nobody was thinking of 9 to 12 months ago. They may have been thinking there might be a recession, but I doubt they were expecting rates to drop as precipitously as they have this year.
We've certainly been enduring a substantial swing. So I'm not sure any of us would have thought a pandemic would be in the cards and the consequences of that. And there's so much volatility and still a lack of confidence that any of us can have in as to the nature of the recovery. We think, obviously, we're in one, based on the stimulus and Fed interventions, but the core and how quickly that can come back, a lot of unknowns. So our team, our board in particular, very very cautious about how we're approaching our levels of investment and what we're doing, at the same time recognizing there's a significant need for investment and change.
Steve, you took over at Huntington in 2009 in the midst of the financial crisis. How does long-range planning in a pandemic environment compare to that earlier experience?
In 2009, when we created the strategic plan in the second and third quarter, Jack, we had a confidence we were coming out of it, that the economy would be improving modestly in 10 and going beyond. Remember, the banks had stabilized, the stress test had been introduced, TARP had been funded, and so it was a question of just the nature of how long it was going to take the recovery to really take hold, banks to repay TARP, et cetera. This is very different. This has a lot more uncertainty, where it's a virus, it's a pandemic. And as a consequence, our planning is less certain about when the recovery is likely to really enter a full recovery stage. Having said that, we clearly think and believe we're in a recovery now, and that will continue. It may be episodic or uneven, but that will be on a trend line. And so we're gearing the company for a substantial recovery to be achieved by early 22, and that's the with the best insight we have now.
You know better than anyone that the banking industry has been disrupted by financial tech companies coming into the space in recent years. Has the pandemic accelerated that process? Are you seeing differences now? And if so, where are you seeing them?
Well, I think the pandemic has had an impact by the nature of our business, having to restrict branch access to drive-throughs. We have about 30% of our portfolio, 25%, I should say, in-store branches, which we closed, and they did not have drive-through support. So we've taken our customer base through a lot of transition. Fortunately, we have a very robust set of mobile and internet capabilities, and we were able to substantially service our customers through them and with limited access into the branches. However, I think it has accelerated mobile or digital banking in a profound way. I think the needs and desires of our customers are going to be impacted and influenced by what they've just experienced. And so our ongoing efforts in digital will be increasing, and we will look to accelerate our plans, our multi-year plans around our digital capabilities and deliveries. So I think this is a significant moment for the industry.
Do you have a sense for how that might impact your branch strategy in the future? Are you thinking through that as well?
We are. We've largely closed clusters of branches almost every year, every 15 months for the last 5 years or so. We announced in the second quarter earnings that we would be consolidating further some branches. And I suspect that will continue for a period of time till the network is thinned a bit to accommodate the consumer preferences and business preferences for mobile and thus just less need for physical delivery. I think there's an important role for branches going forward, but we're fairly dense. We have number one branch share in Ohio and Michigan, and that allows this pruning to occur on a gradual basis.
You know, Steve, some of our viewers may know that Huntington has made a deep commitment to environmental, social, and governance, otherwise known as ESG efforts. In fact, we actually profiled that in the second quarter issue of Bank Director Magazine. How has the pandemic impacted your approach to ESG and particularly in the context of planning?
Well, the framework that we operate under ESG devolves from the board. So there is routine communication around what we're doing of an ESG nature with our directors and seeking their guidance. And so as we're making major changes to the company that position us to do more with our customers or more of an environmental perspective. And if you think as well about the nature of social equity and the movement afoot on that front as well, there's a lot of change occurring. And having that framework embedded in how we operate as a board is very, very important and helps us. So we're sharing with the board our thinking on a more real-time basis, getting input, and ultimately moving into execution with, I think, even deeper understanding. And along the way, I think better outcomes, because it's a challenge process. It's a widely diversified set of skills on our board. So each of our directors is bringing perspective and experience to us, which I find very helpful.
I would think within the context of ESG, this has been obviously there's been a real human resource challenge here for all companies, banks included, managing through the pandemic. And it's not just making the transition to a distributed workforce; it's also letting employees know that you're worried about them, that you're concerned about them, that you don't want to put them in compromising positions that could be create a health challenge for them. I would think that would also play into your thinking right now.
Of course it does. And I think that would be true of many banks. It certainly was for us. So as the pandemic started, we moved fairly early into restricted access into branches. We did a remote workforce very quickly. That spooled up very, very quickly. We also put in a series of benefits, some of which we continue today. And so COVID testing, treatment, all of those are fully supported by the company. There are a series of things we've done, emergency time off for dependent care. It could be elder care as well as children, things of that nature. And we've also funded incrementally what we program we call Huntington Care, so it's an emergency assistance program. And I'm sure others are doing a lot of things. We're learning and watching as well. But this is a moment of extraordinary impact and importance to our colleagues, and the communication with them and the responsiveness to their needs and the changes that we're seeing are really significant and requiring us to be much more flexible. We had a situation just yesterday where there was a suggestion of a benefit change that would help colleagues called up for military service. And while it's not a large number, we would typically implement once a year changes like this. We did that immediately where it was an obvious benefit to our colleagues. So there are things like this that we're becoming much more real-time sensitive to.
When will you know when it's safe to bring your employees back in? What will you look toward to make that decision?
We generally are following CDC guidelines very closely. And so that may cause us to restrict access or spool up. We have been cautious about bringing colleagues back to major facilities. We're very, very sensitive, and we watch daily our branches to see if we have any issues anywhere. We've got emergency capabilities to go in and clean and obviously we're looking out for our colleagues and attempting to trace on their behalf, doing the things that we can to protect them. I think we will likely be in this mode for a while, Jack. I believe I'm optimistic that the therapies will continue to get better, so the risk of fatality reducing, the capacity for treatment reducing, number of days of stay in hospitals, et cetera. But until there's a vaccine and And we've gotten the benefit of protocols, social distancing, et cetera, tamping this disease down. I think we're going to be in a much more flexible and dynamic work environment than we've experienced in my 40 years in banking.
You know, Steve, last question. We started out this conversation talking about, you said you were shortening up your planning cycle because of the future is so uncertain because of the pandemic. What values do you fall back on in a situation like that? Values, strengths, culture, organization, the things that don't change, but the things that are hopefully enduring enough that they help carry you through. What do you think of when it comes to that?
Well, we have a purpose statement that we commonly use of looking out for our colleagues, our customers and their well-being, the people we serve, as well as the communities we're in. And we rely on that purpose statement and we talk about it routinely. And that is our guideline. And so we're dynamically adapting to looking out for in ways that would never have thought of historically. Example for that is we're concerned about schools and whether they can stay open. We've just put an emergency support vendor in place, a firm out of Massachusetts that has a very long list of daycare providers. And we felt that would be an important resource, something never contemplated until just a few weeks ago. So this continuing to listen and flexibility, willingness to adjust and adapt will be very important to us. And I suspect others in the industry will be doing the same thing.
Well, that's all we have time for. Steve Steinhauer, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts for AOBA Summer Series 2020. You're one of the industry's best CEOs. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I appreciate your participation. Thanks a lot.
Well, Jack, it's very nice of you to say that. You've lowered the bar now, so that will cause readership issues or viewer issues. You enjoy the summer. Stay safe. Be healthy. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
You too. Thanks a lot, Steve.